The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest is come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, that when it is sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he didn't speak to them. But to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, Jesus in the Gospel continues to do what he's been doing over the last couple of days, to explain the life of faith in his kingdom, how that faith is supposed to grow. A couple days ago, we heard about that good soil that bears fruit 30, 60, or 100 fold. Yesterday, we heard about the growth of faith and the type of help that we're supposed to give others to grow in faith as the Lord continued his teaching about our faith being like a lamp that's supposed to shine for everybody in the house, something never to be hidden. Today Jesus gives us two other images precisely to help us to see properties of that growth in faith in his kingdom. First is God's work. All a farmer does basically in the Holy Land is scatter the seed and then turn it up. Then you'd wait for the rain. And once the rain would come, and the farmer wasn't making it rain, it would start to sprout, it would then grow, and eventually it would bear fruit. It was fundamentally God's work. We need to be aware of that work of God seeking to make our faith grow. We should have great confidence in God. Our job is persevering, trusting cooperation. In the second image, he compares that growth to a mustard seed. Even if the initial seed of faith is very tiny, God can give it the growth so that it becomes a huge shrub, so that so many others can rest in its shade. With those two images in mind, God's giving the growth from even the tiniest of things to something enormous, and the persevering cooperation that's needed, because we've got to be patient with growth. It's not like one day the seed is planted and the very next day we're eating the fruit. Take some time. Those two things, persevering, patient cooperation, God's growth, help us to understand this very important first reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Can you know where we've been up until now? We talked about all the work of Jesus the eternal high priest, how he is God's definitive word coming, how he's done all of this, piercing the veil of the temple for us so that in his flesh we would be able to enter with him into glory, into the Holy of Holies, into real sanctity in this world and the next. The second half of this letter, we get to our own cooperation in it. And what the letter of the Hebrews is saying is nothing short of, it should make us absolutely heroic. Heroic not on our own efforts, but heroic because of what God himself is going to do. Remember the days past when you had been enlightened, meaning after you had been baptized, you endured a great contest of suffering. It was an incredible fight. I think what we're talking about is the persecution under the Emperor Nero. And many Christians were slaughtered. But they endured it. At times you were publicly exposed to abuse and affliction. At other times you associated yourselves with those so treated, even though you could have hidden and saved your own skin. You went out there and said that that was wrong. You publicly identified, even though it could have cost your head. Why? You even joined in the sufferings of those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of all your goods. They took away all you had. Why did you allow that to happen? Because you knew you had a better and lasting possession. What is that better and lasting possession? It was the real gift of their faith. They were willing, when given the choice between saving all of their goods and idolatrously worshiping one of the pagan gods, or letting all of their goods be confiscated by the Romans and holding on to their faith, they chose to hold on to their faith. Pope Benedict, back in Spe Salvi, focuses a lot on this chapter and the next chapter, which we're going to begin tomorrow. It's one of, I think, the really real highlights of his entire pontificate. He says, you allow all your hypocaunta to be taken away, all that you own, all that in the world you would hold dear, because you had a better hyparxen. You had a better possession. You had a better treasure. And compared to the treasure of faith, all of these other earthly treasures were nothing. And so you allowed them to be taken away because you still knew you were rich, rich in the only thing that matters. That's the first aspect. If we're going to persevere in our cooperation with the Lord, we have to know what that promise is. We have to know what the real treasure is, because that's the way we're able to hold on to it, even in the midst of great contests of suffering. So the letter of the Hebrews continues, therefore don't throw away your confidence. It'll have great recompense. Stay the course. Keep doing what you've done. Don't grow slack. It says you will need endurance to do the will of God and receive what He has promised. Jesus will say elsewhere that by our perseverance we will save our lives. Because it's persevering in difficulty that faith really grows. Jesus doesn't care about our financial portfolio when we die. There are no U-Haul trucks following hearses, as the aphorism goes. He doesn't care. Many of the richest people who have ever died have been dirt poor. And many of the poorest people who have died have been millionaires. We need endurance, and when we suffer those contests, it's when we actually grow stronger. It's when we grow in that gift of faith. And the Lord Jesus is able to take that mustard seed and make it even bigger than a mustard tree. Endurance, that word in Greek is one of the most beautiful Greek words of all. Hupomone means this tested, gritty, gutsy perseverance. The type of perseverance we hope to see from our patriots this Sunday. Then it quotes Habakkuk. For after just a brief moment, he who is to come shall come. He shall not delay. Your promise is going to be fulfilled. He's on his way. Don't be afraid. But my just one shall live by faith. And if he draws back, I take no pleasure in him. To live by faith means to live with our heart set on the hyparxen, on that greater possession, with hupomone, with this tested, gutsy perseverance. But there's one thing we really have to look out for. Describes it here. Drawing back. Throwing in the towel. Coasting. One of the things we have to realize here in the United States of America, because we're seeing it, but it's happened in Europe, it's happened in other places, is what's far more dangerous to the soul is not persecution. Persecution is actually great for our faith. It'll test us. It'll make it grow if we continue to hold on to the Lord. What is really dangerous for our growth in faith is comfort. It's ease. That's when we start to build our grain bins. That's when we begin to lose our discipline. Comfort. And here in the United States, where none of us, thanks be to God, is starving, even those on welfare can afford cigarettes several packs a day and big high-definition televisions and big cable packages that we can't afford. Okay? That's when we lose our discipline. You remember back at September 11th, in the last 20 years, have you ever seen churches so full? No, because when we were besieged, people returned to God. But when the threat has kind of fallen into the background and we're not aware of it, everybody goes back to their comfortable habits. They're drawing back from the Lord. Letter to the Hebrews finishes today. We're not among those who draw back and perish, but among those who have faith and will possess life. And this faith is given first as a gift from the Lord that grows, but we need to cooperate with hupomone, knowing the hyparxin, that treasure that awaits us. So we say with the responsorial psalm today, trust in the Lord and do good. Take delight in the Lord and in His promises, and He'll grant you your heart's request. Commit your whole way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Trust in Him and He will act. And the greatest hyparxin of all, that greatest of all treasures, the pearl of great price, far more valuable than everything else we have in life, we're about to eat. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.